But Craig Tiley's been good enough to join us. We know Craig very well around these parts as the CEO of the Australian Open. He's going to be involved in a big Sport Thought and Leadership Summit on the 17th and 19th of November, Sport NXT, or Sport Next is what it's probably called. He joins us this morning on The Breakfast Club. Good morning, Craig.
Morning, guys. I'm actually standing outside Rod Laver Arena. I think the last time we spoke was around the Australian Open time when no one knew it was going to happen.
Yeah, well, that's right. Well, that's...
you included.
Yeah, no, that's right. I was no different. I think you guys knew more than I did.
Well, you'd be surprised what we know or what we don't know, Craig. Well, tell us about this Sport Next conference, the Global Sport Conference. What is it? What does it mean?
Well, certainly for the city of Melbourne and our state of Victoria, it's something special. There's a group of sports leaders that... started initiating this, which is going to be a thought leadership summit, as you said, but really the forerunner and the leader of all sports minds, coming together during that 2-day period, and the first one this year in November. In fact, everyone was hoping to get it up last year, but during the pandemic that was not possible. But now doing it this year, some of the best minds in sports, particularly, will come together and share some views and ideas on different topics, and it fits right into to Melbourne being the sporting capital of the world, and now to have what will be the largest and probably the best sports conference or sports summit globally.
Craig, with sports and obviously all the people that are there. Leaders want to steal the pie and eat it all themselves. Do you talk about sharing the pie and how you can actually grow sport collectively rather than individually?
No, it's all about dog eat dog. Just a compliment. I'm just kidding. It's from the competitive point of view. But no, I think that's what's great about it. In fact, that's one of the massive, really positives that's come out of this period of the last 18 months is that sports have been far more cooperative and I really realized that the competition is not so much, it's not so much again trying to pursue other ideas from others, but also compete for the grassroots participant. But it's more about what we can do cooperatively and realizing that our competition generally is sports is of entertainment platforms, other entertainment platforms, and a sedentary lifestyle, the couch really. So I think that the cooperation among sports has been great, and this summit has an opportunity to bring that together even further and to build on ideas that have worked for others that other sports can then adopt. So I think there's a very strong cooperative spirit, and I think this is something unique for Melbourne and for Australia, and the way that Melbourne do events and Victoria do events is a sport of the Victorian government. Is unique and the best in the world. So this will be, in our minds, become the best in the world as well.
So that cooperation has been evident between yourself and the NBL, with the NBL playing a game when the Australian Open's on there, and it's a big extravaganza there. Has any other sport come to you during that 2 weeks period and say, well, how can we work together? How can we do something together that's going to, as you say, bring Melbourne to the forefront even more?
Yeah, it's an interesting question, and I do play a role as chair of COMPS, which is the Coalition of Major Professional Participation Sports, and those seven major sports they represent about 80% of the participation in organized sports. The seven major sports, and we are now having very regular conversations what are the opportunities for us to do things collectively. In fact, even in our submissions for funding to the federal government, was for the first time ever was done as a sport group and not individually for sports. And so it's a unique time in our lives where sports can be very cooperative. And we are doing things together. We're sharing IP on events. We're even sharing staff. We've got seasonal staff that are working three or four different sports during the year. We also spoke to netball about the possibility of doing some activity during the Australian Open, for example. We've had NBL and Larry Kesselman and Jeremy and the crew have been fantastic. We feel like we're partners in everything we do. And then the same applies to just how we talk about things now. One of us go to a supplier and access maybe some data or digital information, and then that can be shared by other sports. So we're doing a lot more things than we've done before. And I think this Sport Next will be a summit that will bring that together even more. But also do it on a global scale, because some of the participants in SportsNext, which will be announced today, are going to be some of the best sports administrators and leaders globally. And I think this is a great initiative, and the Victorian government should again be congratulated for thinking about this and getting this going, because it's not going to it's going to reinforce why, you know, we're the world's sports and entertainment capital.
Yeah, certainly the who's who looking through the list. Craig, just obviously it was a crazy year last year or early this year with the Australian Open, and it goes without saying it'd be the most challenging thing you've ever had to do. But I'm just interested in, was there something that came of it that was a really positive outcome that you might now sort of continue to do moving forward?
Yeah, you know, how long have you got? A few hours this morning to talk about that one. But, you know, at the time of running the Australian Open, there was a lot of chaos, and there was a lot of challenges, and there was a lot of uncertainty. Every single hour was uncertain, and we got through the 3 month period and 7 weeks of having international guests here, over 1,000 of them during that period. And we got through it successfully, in the sense that at the end of it, we had the two best players in the world holding up the trophy. And we ran, you know, the world's first major international sporting event during the pandemic. And again, there was another feather in the cap to Melbourne. And the Melbourne community, while at the beginning there was some trepidation, once eventually got behind it, the majority, it was successful. So the learnings that we take forward to that is, one, more than anything, is that, you know, anything is possible. You can find a way. I mean, right now we're talking about, again, 2 weeks of quarantine and the borders remaining closed till the middle of next year. I'm an optimist. I think that's going to be too long. I think it's going to be brought forward, because we're going to get on top of it as relates to the vaccines and how we manage the virus and the approach that we take. Because if we don't, I think we're going to be continually challenged the hospitality and the tourism industry has been decimated with these conditions, and we have to find a way as quickly as we can to change that. So there's no question that. That there were a lot of learnings, and you know, the analogy I made to the team is that, you know, what we really achieved was the sense that we, you know, we climbed Mount Everest, but unfortunately we're back at base camp for 2022. But the difference is now we know the path that we took, so the positives and negatives on that journey we can take from and learn from. So I think the biggest thing was really the confidence that it brought to the community and to sport, and how do we build on that?
So, Craig, just quickly on that, with what the government has announced recently through the budget, are you concerned about the Australian Open with the thought that it's going to be again 2 weeks quarantine? And I know the players weren't keen on that last time, that there could be a worry about the Australian Open come the end of this year or start of next year?
Well, we've still got a mountain to climb and a bridge to cross, because the players have been traveling around the world right now in a bubble. So there's no place in the world anymore where there's quarantine requirement for them. And so they're used to a certain condition. You know, we still now have this 14-day requirement. I mean, but of course, the positive is that we don't have any community transmission of the virus. So we're living freely in our cities, so in our country. So what we have to do is find a way to manage it, but not much different to what we did in 2021. We had a modified quarantine environment where players were allowed to leave the room for 5 hours a day to train and prepare under very strict conditions. So we'll have to work through with health and ensuring that we get the best possible outcome. But I must admit, it's going to be more challenging, because the players would have for a year had traveled and competed globally, and not just tennis players, this is all sportsmen. Formula One would be no different. The cricket would be no different. But, you know, they've competed and traveled around the world very differently. And it'll be an interesting timing. The SportsNext in November 17th to 18th, as you mentioned, the timing of that conference will be right in the sweet spot of, you know, Formula One here in Melbourne and then also preparing for the Australian Open. So there's still a lot of work to do. I'm sure we'll be talking a lot more, and we'll go through those crazy times again. But we've already, right after the Open, we already started to work on 2022.
Well, we look forward to talking to you about that and hearing from some of the best leaders in sport at the Sport NXT, Sport Next Conference, 7 to 19 of November. Get your tickets, sportnxt.org, on sale this morning to listen to them. Craig, appreciate your time as always. Thank you.
Good chat, guys. Have a good day.